This episode of Discover ADN is brought to you by Alpha Efficiency, a monthly productivity magazine that focuses on helping people like you live purposeful lives by exploring new tools, techniques, and productivity principles. They offer insights for purposeful living instead of canned systems, allowing you to use only the tips and techniques that work for you. Check out Alpha Efficiency in the Apple App Store or on their website at alphaefficiency.com/magazine. Welcome to another episode of Discover ADN, a podcast dedicated to learning more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. Join me in attaching a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timeline, while also getting to know a little bit more about the people who make our social network such a nice place to visit. Want to be in the show or recommend somebody you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to DiscoverADN. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Jason Gilman, who goes by the name Axodus on app.net. He describes himself as an early adopter, tech fiddler, runner, and occasional blogger. Please join me in welcoming Jason to Discover ADN. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's get right down to business. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
I want to say it was right at the beginning of August when they had the initial kind of sign up, and you got a chance to claim your Twitter name if you had signed up for the fundraiser, essentially.
And can you tell us why you joined app.net?
I joined app.net because, well, I'm not a developer myself. I've always followed, you know, people like Gruber, many of the other 5x5 people, and they were talking about it at the time, and I was definitely feeling dissatisfied with Twitter, the direction it was going. So I wanted to get on board and be a part of this.
I see. Okay. You use a pseudonym on app.net. Can you tell us, where does Axodus come from?
Basically, when way back in the 90s, when I had to sign up for an AOL handle, I wanted to come up with something unique that was not some general word plus a number like so many people tended to sign up for. And Axodus, as I pronounce it, kind of came from, I like the idea of Exodus, you know, leaving somewhere and going somewhere else. And also the word Odyssey, which is like a journey. And Axodus was just kind of my merger of the two words. And it's a handle that I've used essentially ever since. I own the .com domain, and I've had a blog there for a long time.
I see. Okay. What would you like to see more of on app.net?
You know, a lot of people talk about more paying users and that kind of thing, and that would be great. But what I would really like to continue to see is you know, app.net users collaborating together to create things. I know there's kind of a trend of people doing podcasts together or, you know, other projects. And I think there are a lot of great people and a lot of great opportunities for synergy on ADN. And hopefully we can continue to see that as the service continues.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential with many of the creative people that we have on the network. We can see a lot of collaboration between two people who didn't know each other the week before. And
yeah, absolutely.
Then they create something new.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a slightly new question. Can you tell us, what does app.net mean to you?
App.net is, you know, on the surface level to so many people, it's, you know, the paid Twitter alternative. But to me, it's very much a collection of unique and outstanding, really, individuals that are looking for something different than what has been the mainstream and are looking to explore new opportunities to communicate. And we've had a lot of interesting apps developed on the system, and it's just unfortunate that we haven't had more people recognize what's being built here and get on board with it.
Well, hopefully in the near future, we'll see a little more growth in that regard.
Sure.
Okay, let's change gears just a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
I like to be known as a person who's interested in trying a lot of different technologies, new services, and at the same time, getting to know new people online, and, you know, being a friendly and helpful person. My professional life, I work in IT at a university, and while I don't necessarily work one-on-one with people like I used to when I started my career, I've always been involved in helping people accomplish the things they need to do on computers, and that's very much part of my personality is being helpful and working with people.
Well, that's great. As somebody who works in education, what would you like to see improve technologically?
That's a good question. I definitely think that there is a lot of great potential with technology, but at the same time, there's a lot to be said for the basics as well that don't rely so much on technology. You kind of stumped me, actually. You caught me off guard. Definitely, I think with various touch devices we have now and the ability for people to, have Wikipedia at your fingertips, it's so different than when I went to college. And that was, 15, 20 years ago now, I guess. I think there's definitely a place for more technology in the classroom, but I do think that there's no need to leave the basics behind and over-rely on technology, I guess I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that I'm seeing with some schools around here that are trying to introduce technology for technology's sake, and then people forget how to write with a pen.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my frustrations at various times during my career in higher education is there'll be a hot new technology, there'll be a rush to adopt it without consulting the IT staff, and then it turns out to be a headache for all parties involved. Whereas I definitely think when faculty and the IT staff work together, and really collaborate to study the technologies before they look to implement them, it works better for all parties.
Yeah, I completely agree. We have that now with my employer, and we've got a bunch of these hodgepodge online services that some departments use and other departments don't use.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really sad is that all of these services that we're using actually go against the company's privacy policies. We're putting student data in Dropbox and all these other things, which are just huge no-nos.
Right.
But there's not a heck of a lot that we can do about that at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a constant battle to help, faculty and staff accomplish what they need to and at the same time protect them from themselves at times. So it can be a difficult task.
Indeed. That's putting it very lightly. Let's look at something a little bit more positive. You are an early adopter of technology. Are there any futuristic technologies that we don't have yet that you're looking forward to?
Probably the most obvious one that I'm looking forward to is some form of virtual reality. I'm not a huge gamer per se, but I'm, you know, very interested in the technology and things like Oculus Rift, you know, look really promising. I just saw a video on Pity Arcade where one of the guys was showing people from his neighborhood, his dad, you know, regular non-technology people, and just what they have now kind of in a demo stage just blew these people away, and the enjoyment was awesome. So I'm really looking forward to that kind of thing becoming more mainstream.
Your bio says that you are a runner. Do you participate Sure. in any marathons?
Yeah, I've run 4 marathons now so far. And I'm planning to run a 5th one this fall.
This might be a silly question, but why do you run so far? A marathon is 42 kilometers, and I just can't imagine running that far for any reason.
I think part of it is because although I would consider myself, you know, an above average runner, as far as like truly good runners go, I'm not that great a runner. And definitely not fast in terms of the shorter distances. So to me, I think I am better suited to longer distance races. And the part of the reason that I got into them a few years ago is that was the one distance that I hadn't really raced at. And I just returned to running seriously about 3 or 4 years ago. And anyway, I wanted to get as good a time as I could get before I got older and slower, essentially.
Okay. Are there any other athletic events that you would consider, for example, a triathlon or something of that sort?
You know, it's crossed my mind to get into doing something like triathlons. I do like to ride bicycles, certainly, and I bike commuted for several years. I haven't as much since we've moved a little bit further from the city, but it's something in the future is a possibility, certainly.
All right. Well, I think this is a good segue into our next question. Can you tell us about something that you like?
One of my favorite things right now are podcasts. And I would relate that to running in the sense that my interest has kind of grown at the same time as I got back into running. I realized that, wow, this is a great time that I could be listening to these podcasts, and there are a lot of great podcasts coming out. And when you're training for a marathon, you need an hour or two at times on runs, and podcasts are great for filling up that time. And I feel like I'm killing two birds with one stone. I'm, you know, getting in my training, but I'm also learning something and staying connected to these personalities that I enjoy listening to.
Well, are you able to listen to podcasts or music during an actual marathon?
It varies. Some bigger marathons where the roads are all closed, you know, they allow you to listen to music. Personally, I've always felt like I do not want to listen to music or podcasts during a race. I'm pretty focused on the race itself, and I'm comfortable running without a soundtrack. But definitely I can understand people that need that.
The reason why I ask is because for many of the racers or the runners that I see doing marathons here in Japan, none of them have headphones.
Yeah. And for instance, the Spokane Marathon, which is a smaller marathon that I've done, 3 times now, they specifically, don't allow headphones, because the course is not fully closed and we're sharing the road with cars at times. So it's more a liability thing in the United States, at least, when they don't allow it. But for bigger marathons where the courses are fully closed, they tend to let people listen to music or podcasts or whatever.
Okay. Well, let's move to the final part of our show, and this is where we get to recommend some of the people in our timeline that we enjoy communicating with. So could you share with us three people who you would recommend, as well as why you recommend them?
The first one I'm going to go with is Brett Terpstra. TT Scoff is his handle. And Brett is a guy that's got one of my favorite podcasts and does a ton of creative stuff online where he's just, and then on to top it all off, he certainly has some commercial apps and that kind of thing, but he releases a ton of open source projects that are free for people to take advantage of. And he's a guy that I've interacted with a little bit on ADN as well, and he's a real nice guy. My second person would be a fellow Washingtonian, Daniel Genzer. He lives over on the west side and is a big Seahawks fan as well, our NFL team in the area. And he's done some interesting apps in terms of creating basically a app framework for people to create iOS magazines. And anyway, cool guy. And third person would be a guy in the UK who's a teacher, Ross A is his name. And I've talked to him a little bit about running, and he's also a Mac fan. And although I work with Mac and Windows, I prefer Macs. So anyway, someone I've enjoyed interacting with as well.
All right. Well, those are some great recommendations. Thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thanks for having me.
This concludes the 33rd episode of Discover ADN. Once again, I would like to thank Jason for taking the time to chat with me. Show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10centuries.com. And I would also like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Alpha Efficiency. Have a nice day!